From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine on New York State government and politics. Your host is Dave Gillette, with commentary by political scientist Dr. Alan Shartok of the State University of New York at New Paltz.
Coming up this week, Pierre Infre is staying in the race, but how much damage has been done to the state GOP? Conservative candidate Herb London is looking for the support of frustrated state Republican leaders, and the New York State Farm Bureau has announced its opposition to the environmental bond issue. Those stories, Alan Shartok will be along, and much, much more, coming up on this week's Legislative Gazette. There's a civil war within the New York State Republican Party. Republican gubernatorial candidate Pierre Infre refused to come to a peacemaking meeting in Westchester County this week unless GOP leaders at the gathering acknowledged Infre as the undisputed head of the party. They didn't, so he didn't. Bruce Robertson has more on Infre's campaign.
Republican gubernatorial candidate Pierre Infre announced last Friday that he is still in the race, and then he proceeded to attack members of his own party. Renfrey, trailing badly in his first run for public office, says he will stay in the race despite a lack of support from the leaders of the Republican-controlled state Senate. He accuses them of trying to sabotage his candidacy by not investing enough money in his campaign.
I will remain in the race for governor, and I will do it specifically and exclude from that race Senator Roy Goodman, who is one of the most destructive people in the state, Senator Ralph Marino, who is in bed with Cuomo, and Senator Guy Villella, who is probably one of the most dangerous political people in this state.
Renfrey accuses the Senate Republicans, to whom he refers as the Geritol set because of their long tenure, of hoarding millions of dollars in campaign funds. Renfrey says the Senate Republicans want him to lose, and he accuses party leaders of selling out to Democratic Governor Mario Cuomo.
I am no quitter. I have never quit anything in my life. I am not about to quit. I do not agree with quitting. I am in this race till the very end, when we will win.
State Republican leader J. Patrick Barrett says he is glad that Renfrey is staying in the race, but does not approve of his attacks on the Senate Majority Leader. State Senate Majority Leader Ralph Marino, the focal point for some of Renfrey's most pointed barbs, says he thinks the personal attacks will be counterproductive. Senator Roy Goodman approached Renfrey to run as the party's candidate in May, after a host of other more prominent politicians said no. Pierre Renfrey is a multimillionaire economist, and he denies reports that he has not yet spent any of his own money on the campaign. That he promised to do so reportedly was a major element in his gaining the nomination. For the Legislative Gazette, this is Bruce Robertson.
3 days after his announcement to remain in the race, Renfrey made a new proposal on how to solve New York City's current crime wave. We have more from Brian Shields.
Armed vigilantes, that's what Republican gubernatorial candidate Pierre Renfrey says is needed to fight the current crime wave in New York City. The Manhattan-based economist says the state needs to put people on the streets who are authorized to make arrests and carry guns. He says beefing up police forces isn't enough. Governor Cuomo has proposed sending 5,000 extra police officers to the city. Renfrey says he would have the vigilantes trained by police officials before they are allowed onto the streets. He did not say how many vigilantes he wanted. Cuomo's chief spokesman on criminal justice issues says Renfrey's proposal is dangerous for the public. Renfrey made his comments while appearing on a New York City area television program. New York State Police Superintendent Thomas Constantine is aware of the proposal, and he has a number of reservations about it. The first one is the time required to train civilians.
Before we put our troopers on the road armed, we make them go through extensive background investigation, psychological tests, and a 24-week training program on the use of firearms, the rules of law, the use of force. They're all very elaborate procedures in today's society. So my fear would be is if you wanted to do something like that, you would require the citizens of this state to give up probably 2 or 3 months of their time for a very elaborate elaborate training program. Just the use of a handgun in the appropriate situations, that the mechanical usage of it, learning it to fire it properly, is usually a 3 to 4 week period of time before that you're sure that an individual has that capacity. So I just am not sure how anybody would come up with that many volunteers that were willing to undergo that or have enough money to train them.
And as for the idea itself, Constantine thinks there are better ways to fight crime.
Well, I'm leery about that. I got to tell you the truth. I think all of us have to have faith in the system, and we put our resources in that system to protect us. And as they're looking at it now, as the governor's mentioned, as the mayor's mentioned, maybe it needs more resources to make people safer, especially to feel safer. I think probably the last alternative the society wants is to turn a bunch of armed people loose on the street who may or may not shoot indiscriminately, shoot improperly, get themselves into trouble. I mean, it's such a technical responsibility as to when you can take the life of another person. It's possible if a citizen wasn't trained appropriately, they could shoot and kill an innocent person. And then the citizen who thinks they're doing the right thing could wind up getting themselves indicted for manslaughter or criminally negligent homicide.
Besides the time taken to train police officers, weapon use is heavily regulated.
Any time that our people are involved in a shooting incident of any type, just merely firing the weapon, we do a very elaborate investigation. And if in firing the weapon they should shoot and injure somebody or to kill them, we immediately have to bring the district attorney's office from that local county into the investigation to make sure that there's been no criminal activity.
As for alternatives to vigilantes, Constantine says Governor Cuomo's recommendations of hiring additional police officers and sending additional state troopers to New York City is a step in the right direction. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Brian Shields.
The likely benefactors from any decline in Renfrey's support are conservative Herb London and right-to-lifer Lewis Wien. London has made calls to GOP leaders throughout the state to try and gain new support. More from Karen DeWitt.
Conservative candidate Herb London, working to take advantage of the Republican Party's disarray over the recent antics of their chosen candidate for governor, likened Pierre Renfrey to Humpty Dumpty, whom London says has fallen off the wall and cannot be put back together again.
Either they manage to put Humpty Dumpty together, as I've suggested, or Republican leaders gravitate to Herb London. They've got those two options in their gubernatorial race.
So far, only one Republican, Jim Breese, the Henrietta Town supervisor in Monroe County, has publicly shifted support to London since the Renfrey debacle. But London says he's talked to many more county Republican leaders who've indicated they're considering backing him. London, unlike Renfrey, who said State Senate Majority Leader Ralph Marino was in bed with Governor Cuomo and State Senate re-election Chair Guy Vilela was dangerous, praised Republican senators for doing their best in a state government where he says Democrat Mario Cuomo holds a lot of power.
In the case of Vilela, who I've known for a long time, I think he performs a valuable service for the citizens of the Bronx. And I think in the case of Marino, as I've already indicated, even though he can be criticized, as we all can, I think it's important to note that $1 billion from our budget was actively reduced through Marino's leadership.
London even offered to campaign for senators who don't endorse him and said one of the few senators he would not back is Manhattan's Roy Goodman, who recommended Renfrey to the party and whom Renfrey has called destructive. The strategy London is advocating works like this. If Republicans can bring out party faithful to vote for London, those same Republicans will vote for GOP Senate candidates on the ballot rather than stay home because of disappointment with Renfrey.
If I can get people to turn out, largely because Republicans say, go out for London, I know you're dissatisfied, voter dissatisfaction with Renfrey is very high, you're dissatisfied with Renfrey, who some Republicans have described as a loose cannon, go out and vote for London. If that could happen, then the Republicans will get a sufficient turnout so they can win the Senate.
The drawback is if London gets more votes than Renfrey, conservatives would pick up line B on the ballot. State Board of Elections spokesman Dave Flanagan says that means Republicans would lose election inspector posts they now share with Democrats in all of the county governments.
The two major political parties are defined in the election law as those two parties who receive the most votes in a gubernatorial election. So, for instance, if the conservative candidate did receive more votes than the Republican candidate in this gubernatorial election, the county boards would then be made up of Democratic and conservative election commissioners rather than Democratic and Republican election commissioners.
Republicans would also lose one commissioner's seat on the state board of elections. The two top parties each have two positions, one picked by that party's state committee and one by the legislative leaders of that party. Because conservatives have no significant power in the legislature, Flanagan says Republicans would still be able to fill one of the posts. But London says the conservative control of Line B would probably be temporary.
Keep in mind that it's very unlikely that the Conservative Party can retain control of Line B for more than 4 years. If it happens, it will be regarded as aberrational and will be regarded as one of those conditions of a very unique gubernatorial race.
And Michael Long, the Conservative Party chair, says conservatives are more interested in mounting a philosophical challenge to Mario Cuomo than winning Line B. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Karen DeWitt's report is courtesy of the New York Public Radio Albany Bureau. And as we head to Election Day, we're trying to keep you informed on the various issues of statewide importance. But what about issues particular to various regions of the state? This week, we begin a new series which looks at some of those issues and the key races throughout a particular region. Our Mike Fondacaro spoke this week with Paul Baker of WXXI Public Radio in Rochester to find out what concerns Rochester area citizens.
After the entire Gary Pratt issue, can Susan John take the 131st Assembly seat?
That seems to be the question of the campaign locally, one of them at least. It was a close race, really, in the primary. And the primary numbers would indicate that Gary Proud, while not mustering enough to actually take the Democratic line, still does have a rather firm base of support. What remains to be seen is who will the labor unions endorse? Who will the labor unions back? In the primary campaign, the labor unions backed Gary Proud. Another question that arises out of all of this is who will the Republicans and the independent voters, and there are a large number of them in that district in Rochester, who will they vote for? Gary Proud has enjoyed much support crossing party lines in the past. He does have a conservative line. He does have an independent line. It's going to be an interesting election in the 131st.
What do you think are some of the other key races in the Rochester area?
I would say that one of the key races outside of the 131st would be the 132nd Assembly District. That is the district where veteran lawmaker Penny Cook is stepping down, and that leaves a wide-open race. That race is being eyed by Joseph Morelli, the Democrat. He is the man who came within 700 votes of Mrs. Cook in the last Assembly election. And it is also being looked at by Mark Ogden, the Republican who ran for school board last year. There are a number of issues that are being brought up in the 132nd Assembly race. However, one of the biggest issues seems to be the behavior of the two candidates. Ogden's campaign was criticized just last week by the Democrats because Ogden voted at the wrong polling place in the primary in 1989 in the city of Rochester. Ogden claims that he was told to go to his old polling place by the elections inspectors at the polling place he thought he should be going to. Be that as it may, prior to that, the Republicans took on Democrat Joseph Morelli and charged that he had illegally gotten petition signatures on nominating petitions for an independent line in the race. That is now before the state Supreme Court to be decided. So the substantive issues are not possibly getting as much attention as they could simply because the personalities and past histories of the candidates are coming into the race.
If the substantive issues were getting attention, what do you think would be the big headline grabbers?
Morelli has talked a lot about crime, and Ogden has as well. I think both of them are very concerned about law and order. Morelli has talked about the need for laws restricting the availability of assault weapons. Yesterday he held a news conference that was proposed better body armor for state police. Those are some of the issues that Mr. Morelli has been taking up. There is also the issue of the state budget. Mr. Ogden has talked about the need for restraint in spending and getting rid of some of the pork barrel projects that are currently contained in member items.
Paul Baker of WXXI Public Radio in Rochester. To find out what's going on in the Syracuse, Oswego area, Mike spoke with Chris Ulanowski of WRVO Public Radio in Oswego.
One of the issues in your area that we hear about the most in Albany is the 9 Mile One nuclear power plant in Oswego. How big a role will that play in the campaign?
As in the past, the nuclear power plants at 9 Mile Point have not really surfaced as an issue in the elections. I can go back several years, and it has not really surfaced as a debatable issue in the campaign. There has been some in the past year or two, mainly because of the state's role in looking for a disposal site for low-level radioactive waste. That issue has come up, and some attention has been focused on 9 Mile One, but really that has not really played out in any of the local elections here, whether that be on the state level or the town level or city level as well.
Besides the low-level waste issue, what do you see as some of the other big issues in your area?
A lot is talked about in regards to taxes and the tax burden each resident is expected to pay. Mainly, there's a lot of complaining about what's being handed down from the folks in Albany. Many are very critical of the legislative process, and they're not satisfied with the $1.8 billion in new taxes and fees imposed on New Yorkers. That has surfaced to some extent in the campaigns for assembly here in Oswego County. That has been brought up as an issue, mainly as the Republican candidates raising that concerns, but also on the other side of the political aisle that there's some displeasure in the whole process as well. So one of the big things being talked about would be just the impact that the state legislature and the leaders in Albany have played in terms of imposing new taxes and fees on all New Yorkers.
What are some of the big races out in your area?
In Oswego County, we have the 117th Assembly District. It's an open seat. The incumbent is retiring after serving five terms on that seat in the 117th, Ray Chesbro. However, the Republicans here have a 2-to-1 enrollment majority against the Democrats, so there's some question of whether the Democratic candidate can make any inroads against that. However, it is an open race at this point, and for the first time ever, the county Republicans have fielded a woman candidate to run in this contest.
That's Chris Ulanowski of WRVO Public Radio in Oswego. Join us next week when we'll speak with other reporters on the election issues in their areas. A Marist College poll released last week showed the majority of New Yorkers don't know what the environmental bond issue is. Well, over the next month and a half leading up to Election Day, various groups and politicians will be lining up to say why they favor or oppose the issue. The New York Farm Bureau has come out in opposition to the $2 billion bond issue. The money from it would be used to buy environmentally valuable land, help localities pay for garbage programs, deal with medical waste, and help build a park on Manhattan's East Side riverfront. Farm Bureau President Charles Willey says the state should get its fiscal house in order before spending another $2 billion.
We've had some difficulty balancing our budget last spring. We've had some economic reverses in the national economy, which is reflecting on tax revenues, so that we have severe fiscal problems. And to add $1.9 billion bond issue, and then on top of that, a $1.5 billion a debt service cost is just more than the Farm Bureau members think that we can afford to do at this point.
Willie says the Bureau supports environmental conservation, but issues like crime prevention should also be addressed with money, and he wants to make sure there's adequate funding for those other issues. His own taxes have also convinced him that the tax burden placed on New York's rural population would be too great.
Our own taxes on our farm increased 27%. The number of dollars that we paid, my friends tell me they paid even more, a greater percentage. So we see tax burdens increasing, and I don't think the public really can endure an increase in their tax burden.
But can the Bureau suggest any alternatives to the bond issue?
The solid waste management activities are something that we're all concerned about, and water quality, we're concerned about that. We believe that the bottle bill, there's $80 million that is there. We and Farm Bureau suggest that that be used for solid waste activities. We and Farm Bureau think that the bottle bill could be expanded, and we would support an increase in the bottle bill, the bottle deposits, and that would give us additional money for some activities.
That's Charles Willie, president of the New York State Farm Bureau. You're tuned to the Legislative Gazette on Public Radio. I'm Dave Gilletley, and joining us now is our political observer, Dr. Alan Shartok of the State University of New York College at New Paltz and publisher of the Legislative Gazette newspaper. Alan, Pierre Renfray is staying in the race, but where do you see him right now?
Well, he is taking a calculated risk. He's deciding that he is going to try to emulate what happened in Massachusetts with the ins being thrown out and the outs who ran against the establishment winning, so that you had John Silver on the one hand, you had Mr. Weld on the other hand in the Republican Party beating the entrenched establishment because everybody's so unhappy. And I have a feeling that a light bulb went off in Pierre Renfray's head, and he said, you know, what a great idea. Let's try that, because it was literally the day after or the day after that that the new strategy emerged, which was to attack the Republicans, call them the bedfellows of the Democrats, and say, I'm against all of them. As I've said, a guy who goes around in a major league sailboat and talking about his yacht and his penthouse, or not penthouse, but huge apartment in New York City that cost millions of dollars, this is not exactly what we consider to be a populist where I come from. But in any case, he's trying it, and he's getting a lot of attention as a result of it. And I'm sure that there will be some disaffection from those people who just, you know, we're feeling no, who will go with him. He was at a low of 15% in the last Marist poll, and my bet is that he can't get much lower than that. Of course, Herb London, the conservative, is now trying his best to capitalize and saying, look, this guy is no good. You got to vote for me, and let's try and win the number two spot in New York State for the conservatives, which would be very harmful to the Republicans, which is why the great effort on part of many major Republicans in New York State to stop the disaffection.
Isn't there some inertia when somebody goes into the voting booth, though, whereby they'll be Republicans and there'll be a sealed Republican line on the ballot, mm-hmm. and no matter who's at the top of the ticket, they might just pull a lever so that 15% isn't really a realistic number?
Yeah, I think 15% is very low. But this is what I've been told the pollsters are picking up all over the place. Pierre Renfray decided that he would be outspoken, and outspokenness has its rewards in some venues, but basically people understand that you can't be ruled by an after-dinner speaker, and that there is not outrageousness has its place, but its place is not in a situation where somebody's going to have to sit up in the governor's mansion lead and give direction to a state. And when they see a guy continually lipping off and sort of shooting himself in the foot and attacking his colleagues, they say, wait a second now. No matter how unhappy we are, we understand also that leadership has to consist of a little bit of sand. And this guy hasn't got what it's going to take to be running the state. So I have a feeling you're not going to find the tremendous growth.
Legislative Gazette political observer, Dr. Alan Shartok. Joining us next with a look at other events in state government this week is Paul Rosenthal with our legislative notebook.
Governor Cuomo was indicating he's thinking about future elections, future gubernatorial elections. Cuomo was widely viewed as a potential 1992 presidential candidate, but he said he's thinking about a fourth term as governor. He's now seeking re-election to a third four-year term. During a flight to Rochester, Cuomo told reporters he wanted to save a lot of the campaign money he's raised in case he needs it if he decides to run for a fourth term. He's raised about $8 million. The governor's been criticized for not donating more of that money to Senate Democrats challenging Republican incumbents. So far, he's given them $55,000. Cuomo has said getting a Democratic majority in the Senate is one of his priorities. Just who is Pierre Renfrey, and what is he running for? Well, not very many people can answer that question, at least according to a new poll from the New York Times. Only 10 of those questioned knew he was running for governor on the Republican ticket against Mario Cuomo. Some thought Renfrey was, in no particular order, a perfume, a drug dealer, a fashion designer, an advocate for the homeless, a chef, a television journalist, the French ambassador, and even a corrections officer. One even thought he was a goalie for the New York Rangers. Fortunately for Renfrey and the GOP, the Times admitted that the study was not exactly very scientific. It only included 40 residents of Queens and Brooklyn. This year's New York State gubernatorial campaign has been far from normal. The Republican candidate almost quit the race. He's also been attacking members of his own party. So in such a strange year, would the Political Action Committee of the State Right to Life Committee endorse Louis Ween, the Right to Life Party candidate? No. The committee endorsed conservative Herb London, who favors abortion only in the cases of rape, incest, and when a mother's life is in danger. Ween is not happy about the way in which London got the endorsement. Governor Cuomo's plan to send 100 state police investigators to crime-plagued New York City is going to mean a temporary manpower strain for upstate forces. That's the word from State Police Superintendent Thomas Constantine. The investigators will be sent to New York City over the next 8 or 9 months to work with city police and federal agents to help track down people wanted for violent crimes. Governor Cuomo should show more confidence in putting forth his views concerning the Adirondacks. That from the director of a commission appointed by the governor to study the Adirondack Park. George Davis is executive director of Cuomo's Commission on the Adirondacks in the 21st Century. He says Cuomo needs to take a clearer public stand before meaningful change can come from the commission's recommendations. A report prepared by the commission recommends that the state more aggressively protect against overdevelopment in the 6-million-acre park. The report calls for a 1-year construction ban on most private land in the park and suggests that the state buy an additional 650,000 acres of land there. A spokeswoman for Cuomo says the governor has already said he supports the vision of the park expressed in the commission's report, but the governor also says he believes some of the recommendations must be reviewed more carefully. The report has sparked protest among many Adirondack residents who fear that the recommendations would limit what they can do on their property. A grand jury looking into possible influence peddling on defense contracts is investigating the law firm headed by Senator Alphonse D'Amato's brother. New York Newsday reports that the panel is checking on more than $70,000 in fees paid by the Unisys Corporation to the Mineola law firm headed by Armand D'Amato. Sources told the paper that the law firm did no legal work for Unisys, but arranged for letters to the Navy Secretary allegedly bearing the senator's signature and urging government contracts for Unisys. Those letters, some composed by Unisys, were written on the Senate letterhead of Senator D'Amato. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Paul Rosenthal.
And that does it for this week's show. Join us next week. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Gallettly.
The program is made possible with grants from the Legislative Gazette, the newspaper about state government. Subscription information available by calling 518-473-6482. And Empire Information Services, serving New York and New England with electronic news release distribution.
Pierre Renfrey is not quitting this year's gubernatorial campaign, but has the state Republican Party sustained any damage? I'm Dave Gallettly. Coming up on this week's edition of the Legislative Gazette, we'll look at the ramification of the entire Renfrey situation. Alan Chartok will join us as well. Join us each week for the Legislative Gazette.